Hello, 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 everyone. How are you? Hope you're having an incredible, incredible day, and may peace be upon you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining my show. Yes, I can. With me, your host, Dr. Izdihar Jamil. And today I have the beautiful, the inspirational, the visionary Tabby Biddle, who is a woman's leadership coach, consultant, and educator. Tabby, say hello to everybody.
Thank you, Izdihar. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. And today, Tabby and I, we're going to be talking a little bit about women on stage, like women sharing our voices on stage. And oftentimes, I know personally it is for me, it has been for years, it is a scary thing. Some people just love it. They just love the spotlight. They love the attention. But people like me, and I'm pretty sure there are a few others as well, was like, this is such so scary thing. This is so big. I'm going to be frozen. All those eyeballs on me. Not going to do it. So Tabby, for those of you who don't know, Tabby was my coach for my TED Talk at TEDx Deltarune Woman. And she helped me and 11 of the speakers, including myself, so 12 of us, to help us ground ourselves, craft our story, and have the embodiment to speak on stage. So Tabby, first of all, just a quick flashback. What was the turning point that helped you to be where you are as a woman's leadership coach?
Well, first of all, I thought we were going to flashback to your talk. So
I was having
a joyful moment there. Pivot point, turning point, mm-hmm. How I got to where I am now. Well, I would say the major pivot point was what I would call a divine feminine awakening, really awakening to how much I had followed a patriarchal path and had kind of sought out leadership from that paradigm or that way of being, which kind of only worked to a certain degree. And then realizing that there's so much more, first of all, in history beyond what I knew in terms of pre-patriarchal history. And there's so much more power that I and all women, all of us, and men and everyone really have within ourselves that's connected to feminine power and feminine consciousness. Mm-hmm. And when I had that awakening, I, at the same time, awakened to the massive human rights abuses happening for women and girls around the world, from physical violence to violence to our voices, violence to our bodies, right. All layers, all degrees. And of course I was aware of some of these things, but not to the level that I was awakening to at this time. And as a Western woman in the US, I realized I can use my voice. I have, freedom of the press. Blogging was just becoming a big thing. This is back in like 2007, 2008.
Right.
And I can use my voice to tell the stories of what is happening. At the time, it wasn't so much covered in the mainstream press. Of course, there were certain writers covering this. And I had a previous background in journalism that I hadn't used for a while. And so I began writing and using my voice to wake other people up to what was going on and then to amplify other women's voices who maybe were silent. Mm-hmm. So that was a big pivot point. And I'm sure I could go on and tell more, but I think that's sufficient to kind of give you a launch point.
Absolutely. And you talk about this feminine power, feminine energy that you felt that, there's a deepness, there's a connectedness, there's a calmness, groundness, but also a powerful energy that we are missing, or we either missing or not known about. And I feel that in our TED journey, in our sessions with you, that was something that I felt even though you didn't mention about it, but something that I felt that is the groundedness, that the feminine energy, it is beautiful, it is calming, but there's also so much strength. And I was just wondering, how is it that as women, that as female leaders, whether, you know, we're a leader at our home, a leader in our community, a leader in our institution or organization or our business, how can we as female leaders start to be open to that energy? Because oftentimes, well, I've still been taught that you got to be more masculine when you kind of like on stage, right? Because then you got to have that power, that kind of thing. But when I met you, it was like, oh, I can be this way and I can speak this way, like who I am. So can you just kind of share, how can we be more open into receiving it or seeing the signs of this feminine energy? Is it just for women or is it for men as well?
Beautiful questions, Isdahar. I love hearing your questions and your own journey and experience with our time together. The first thing that comes to me is really about our body in terms mm-hmm. of receiving this feminine energy. Mm-hmm. There is so much feminine wisdom that is inside of our bodies that we have not necessarily been privy to or had access to because of the patriarchal culture, right? Yes. We've more been objectified and so forth. And for many women, there's a disconnection from their body for multiple reasons. Number one, wanting to hide and protect themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Protect themselves from any type of, you know, physical violence, yes. right? That's a very yes. real thing. Mm-hmm. And then also disconnection because there's, you know, for many women, a feeling of, oh, my body's not good enough, right? Yes. And so therefore they're, instead of developing a friendly and loving relationship with their body, it's the mm-hmm. exact opposite. And yes. so because of this, it can be very difficult to access one's feminine energy and power, which is all over in our body. But one of the main power centers is really our womb mm-hmm. space. Mm-hmm. And even if a woman has had a hysterectomy and she doesn't have her womb, there's still an energetic imprint there, correct. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the ways she can access it is truly simply placing her hands down at her lower belly, her womb space, and spending a minute every morning breathing, just feeling mm-hmm. her belly rise and fall and coming into her lower body in that way to tune in to the first the silence there and then also mm-hmm. the wisdom, because it's first going into yes. the silence, which is where the wisdom arises. Mm-hmm. So that's a very simple practice to access. But in my experience, it's absolutely necessary to have some type of body-based practice where you are in a loving and listening relationship with your body in order to receive the feminine wisdom and the feminine consciousness, really.
Yes. Yeah. Because I feel a lot of times we're here, right, Tabby? A lot of the times we're here, the mind is all constantly churning and thinking, and then the body and the mind doesn't connect. There's a disconnection. And oftentimes when I see a speaker, because I study them for my TED Talk, oftentimes when I see the speaker, they would say one thing, but then their body would betray them. Their body would betray what they are saying. So instantly there is a confusion message between me and the speaker. Oh, that person saying this, but their body is saying otherwise. Just an example, politician, they all hide behind podiums so that nobody can see the body language apart from this side. And because the body, 70% of communication is the body. And if people will only see things behind the podium, people would know instantly whether, you know, the leg facing this way and then saying something, or, you know, the tummy facing this way or whatever it is. So I really get what you're saying about that disconnection and the breathing in from the top all the way in to the reproductive system, both men and women.
Yes. That was the other piece I was going to add to that, because I know you had that question. Is it just for women? No, it's for women and men. Even though I'm talking about our womb space, for men coming into that quietude and meditating, and I think for them more the access part point is actually the heart. So for men, I would recommend for a simple practice is hands at the heart and breathing for a minute, you know, eyes closed and coming into that space. I think that's the bigger access point for them.
That is beautiful. You know, like you said, first comes the silence, right? Comes the silence, the deep breathing all the way in. Because I think if you talk the energy... The reproductive system is also part of a power source in the chakra system. It's like kind of having some similarity to that. So like first comes the silent, the deep breathing, just a minute or two, just like you're saying, deep breathing in, and then just allow the wisdom to come from that space of our reproductive system. And I was just curious, Tabby, in your work, because you specialize working with female leaders, female entrepreneurs, and especially also in taking them to speak on the TED stage. What is the transition between those women that are wanting just like, okay, I have this, I have some dream in this, to women who actually land on the TED stage? So many people have the dream and the desire for it, but not many are able to actually stand on the stage. So can you give us some idea what is like the bridge between the world, like, I have a dream on the TED stage one day, to like, I'm here today, it is done.
Well, in terms of my work and working with female leaders, there are a couple different ways that it happens. I mean, you know, the way you and I work together, you already had a TEDx speaker spot, right? And so I came in as the speaker coach for this particular event, right? To get you ready to be there on the stage. So that's, I'm sure you have that story somewhere in terms of getting from, you know, I have a dream to actually getting that speaker spot, right? In fact, I know you have a story for that. So that's one piece. The other piece of work I do is I actually take women through a curriculum to take them from that dream to write their talk and apply to TEDx events, connect with TEDx organizers, build relationships with them, and learn how to embody and memorize their talk and have the confidence to step up there, stand on the stage, and to give their talk. So, and believe me, it's quite a process. I mean, you've been through it, right? I've been through it as a speaker. It's a deep process, and there is a lot of old messaging that needs to be worked through in terms of women feeling like their voices aren't important enough, the fears of being seen, right? The fears of being visible, because we have a, you know, long and current and past collective history in terms of, you know, what can happen, you know, persecutions and so forth, right? When women speak their truth and speak out, speak their opinion, their point of view. So it's really, it's a very big deal when women make the choice to do this and see it through all the way. And I would say the difference between, you know, the person who has the dream and the person who's actually up there on the stage is a willingness to be able to do that inner work, as well as, of course, the outer work, writing, you know, writing your talk. But there's a lot of inner work it takes to recognize some of these unconscious barriers, name them, and say, you know what, I'm going to keep walking forward. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm just going to stay in the process. Right. And there's a real courage there. And it's not something you can engage in passively.
Correct.
It's, you know, it does take a bit of a warrior spirit in order to be there on that stage. And at the same time, a very loving and compassionate spirit to nourish and nurture yourself through that whole process.
Absolutely. And I feel there's a lot of mental toughness as well, Tabby, in the process from I Have the Dream, certainly is for me to be on the stage. I remember many times when I was rejected, I would literally cry, like, you know, like really crying, because it's a dream and they would either reject or they would, you know, or say some comments that I feel like, no, that's not really what I meant. And I would tell me when I literally call a friend of mine, like, they rejected me and said this, because it is a lot of heartbreaks over and over again to put yourself vulnerable. And like you said, that's a lot of inner work that needs to be done. For me, it was rejection, right? Like the rejection part comes back to the womb or something in the past that I haven't clearly, but it does take a lot of a warrior stance, mental toughness, and then get back up again into the game once you've gone through that drama. And I just wanted to ask you, Tabby, like once you've gone through all that, and then you mentioned something about embodiment. So when I first heard you talking about embodiment, I'm like, oh, what do you mean by embodiment? Like, so what is that embodiment? Isn't just enough for you to just write the speech and then, you know, memorize it or wing it?
Right. Well, you definitely can't wing it on the TEDx stage.
That's what a lot of women don't know. It's like, I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to flow. I'm just going to do this. They watch my touch. And oh, you just look so easy. You just float. I mean, darling, if you only know how many thousands of hours I practice. Yeah. So yeah, like the winging it and the embodiment.
Yes. Okay. So I will address those two things. Number one, again, to emphasize again, there's no winging it to be a TEDx speaker. The speakers like yourself put in so many hours of preparation and practice and recitation and embodiment practices, which I'll talk about in a moment. And in fact, you're required to hand in your script to your TEDx organizer. They're not going to let you get up there without a script. Yes. Not that you're taking the script up there, but they need to know that you have fully prepared for this event in order to speak on the stage that they have the license for, right? They're counting on you to really show up for both yourself and the audience that's been invited there. So as far as embodiment goes, yes, this is a huge piece, particularly again, for women, because being in our body, as I mentioned before, is a source of our power and taking up space. So if we're just operating from the head and from the intellect, we're much less powerful. We're much less powerful. But if we are in our body, in our legs, even something as simple as when you get on stage, walk on stage, take a moment, take a breath, press your feet into the ground, you know, through your shoes into the ground, feel the support of the earth beneath you. Even something as simple like that can really help women. And also to consciously relax the pelvis. That's another, piece of advice to relax into, you know, your hips, your pelvis, your lower body, not to, you know, melt to the ground, but to be grounded in that way, because from there, that is how you take up space. And as you take up space, your listeners are magnetized towards you, right? They're engaged at a deeper level with what you're saying. And so then they're receiving your message and the transmission that you're bringing forth. So there's the message that you have through words, but there's also a transmission that comes through your presence. And if you can be embodied in your body, feeling your legs, feeling your pelvis, then you are being of greater service to your audience who's there present with you, as well as those who will listen to you later on the video.
Beautiful and beautifully said, Tabby, in terms of that part that you're like the vessel, right? Like you have the message or the words that you for TED speakers, you literally have to memorize it. There's no, people think there is, a, what do you call it? Like that screen where you have the script, like
teleprompter.
Yeah. Well, there isn't any teleprompter, but you literally have to memorize it. But then like saying like the transmission of the vessel that's being used is your body. Because dancers, they have this thing called muscle memory. Even if they haven't danced a song for so long, but when they hear that song, their muscle remembers the movement and everything. It's the same when you kind of went in delivering and using your body as a vessel, as a transmission to share that message. And the magnetism or attractiveness, what you mentioned, is in a way that people literally can't look away from you when you have, when you bring the energy from within you to the outside. And until today, I still have people who reach out to me that watch my videos and said, I literally cried watching your videos. It touches my heart. And my videos have been seen like 25,000 times. But that kind of thing that I felt in that moment when I gave my talk still literally transmits till today. All the time, you touch my heart, you make me cry, I can see my daughter in your story, you know, so many parts, it literally, even though we had it in December. So that's right, so it was a few months ago. So I wanted to ask you like the tips that you can, because you've trained quite a lot of TED speakers, some have got that X factor or the magnetism, the attractiveness. And I know certainly for me, it didn't just happen. I had to work for it. So can you share some tips that from your training of this many, many women, what is the key difference that for those who have the factor, the attractiveness, the magnetism, with those who maybe have a little bit less, is it because the practice, is it because the commitment, is it because the alignment? What is the difference?
Mm-hmm. There are a few factors that go into this. The first is Dahar, is something you already mentioned about being a vessel. When women can open themselves up to being a vessel and a conduit for their message, there's something bigger that happens, like we talked about a moment ago, with their stage presence. If it's very focused on just them and, oh my gosh, I have to do this perfectly, I have to, you know, like caught up kind of in the ego structure, then their energy becomes smaller, more contracted, right? So that would be the first piece, is opening yourself up. And when I say open up, it's really about connecting to not only your deeper purpose of you know, why you're here, what you feel called toward, right? It's the people you're serving, who, right? Being very clear, who is your message for? Who are you wanting it to reach? Not in a forceful manner, but just in a awareness manner, so that you can dedicate your talk to those people. So there's that spiritual element, I would say, that comes into play in terms of the magnetism that that you spoke about. The other piece, of course, is the embodiment piece, to not just be in the head. And again, simple practice before you go on stage is just bring your hands down to your lower belly and do that minute of breathing, right? And at the same time, you can make your dedication, right? And then there is, you talked about belief. There is, it's a belief in themselves, but it's also a belief in their alignment with their larger purpose. So there's a lot of, this is all kind of spiritual elements that come into play here in my experience with my speakers, in terms of the ones who have that energy and magnify, because there's such a deep belief in what they're speaking about and how important it is, right? Like your talk, you know how important that message is about honoring your own cultural heritage, right? And honoring others. So showing up in that service, higher purpose service is one of the factors, the difference between someone just kind of showing up and maybe having a little more contracted energy.
Beautiful. And I remember, like, it happened to me both times, one during the rehearsal, because we had a rehearsal before our TED talk, and one during the stage. And I remember, like, putting the mic, I remember, like, you know, standing there, I remember walking, I remember looking front. And then as soon as after I said the first word, the first sentence, I don't remember. Like, I literally, like, don't remember, like, you know, I see the faces, I see the movement, but I don't remember. Like, you know, it's as if, again, the conduit, the vessel, or, you know, the spirituality comes of it. Like, it was me, but it wasn't me. I felt like I was an outsider. I know it sounds a little bit crazy, but I felt like I was an outsider looking at myself. I see the faces, but it wasn't actually me that is controlling things. And I remember, like, after our rehearsal, as soon as I finished the last sentence, and then, you know, I was present again, and I started to see, like, tissues being passed in that moment, and I started to see, like, everybody had tears in their eyes, and it's just mind-blowing for me. And I remember, like, at rehearsal, I was just like, and then you told me, just take a moment and, you know, just take it in, because I literally, like, came back, and what did just happen? And then I saw everybody come, like, what did I do? Like, it was to that space, and it was really that connection, the bigger message. These, you know, spirituality, it doesn't mean that, you know, you pray 1,000 times or something, but it is that connection of having the bigger message. In the beginning, I was like, oh, it's so cool to be on the TED stage. But through the process, I realized there was something way bigger than me. It is about my daughter and my children and other women, children who are, you know, Muslim women and younger children that have that. So I wanted to kind of, like, tap into your wisdom as well. What it would be, since we have you on there on the stage, kind of delivering their message, how would they know if their message is big enough, is worthy, that needs to be said? Because each of our messages are so unique and individualistic. So how do we know if it's big enough, or is it worthy enough, or it is what is meant to be shared on the TED stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Practice presentations with friends, family, and loved ones in the process of writing your talk. And I'm not saying doing the presentations, waiting all the way until you're done. I would say, as you're in the process of writing, because first of all, there's something that's calling you to speak from the TEDx stage. So you're listening to that, and there's some message that wants to be borne out through you, right? And maybe it's a message you've been speaking about all the time in your business or your profession, right? But now it's ready for a bigger platform. So you have that as your starting point, right? And then if those questions come up, like you said, Izdahar, you know, people are questioning, is my message worthy enough? Is it engaging enough? Is it big enough, right? The key there is not only sharing with others what your message is, but actually start writing your talk and read it aloud first to yourself and see how it feels in your body. And then, and even if it's just like the first couple paragraphs, and then ask a few trusted friends or family members or colleagues whose opinions you trust and value, and you feel safe to be vulnerable with them, and you can let them know, you know, I'm thinking of giving a TEDx talk, and I really want to be witnessed in sharing, you know, this first few minutes of what I wrote. Would you be willing to hold space for me? And give me feedback if you find the idea engaging, if there's something else you're curious about, you want to know more about, you know, I'd really appreciate your feedback on this, because it's really important, Izdahar, to not write your talk in a vacuum.
Right. Yes, it's really, just do.
Yeah. And I know some people, I mean, myself, I'm very individual when I write, but it gets to a point where you do start having those questions like, is this making sense? Is this going to impact people? So you have to share, you have to breathe it alive through your voice first, mm-hmm. you know, to yourself, and then breathe it alive to those trusted, what I call trusted advisors. Mm-hmm. And let them, you know, give you feedback. And it doesn't mean that you have to take every piece of their feedback and suggestion if something doesn't resonate with you. But generally, if you find like if you know a few things repeated in the feedback, then you know that that's worthwhile.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Worth examining. And that's something that you gave us as part of the homework for us to do as well, to have the trusted advice. And remember, you're saying that you literally have to practice. And I remember like going to top experts, to my friends, to, you know, people that come over to, I specifically invited people and cook for them just so that they can come and listen to my TED talk. Oh, and then even when I interview my guests for my podcast, hey, do you have 5 or 10 minutes to listen? And then they would say, you know, this here, that here. Obviously, if I don't agree with it, then, you know, there's always that openness to it, but it just helps me a lot to reframe it, the story, like, because one of the things I say, why is this thing here and here? Where's the connection of it? There was a missing connection between this part and this part. And then they would ask me, what did you do in here? Like this, things would just start to open up, because when I'm writing, I'm like, everything looks good from my
point. Because you know everything. You know how all the dots connect.
Exactly. And then when people listen to it, they're like, oh, in their listening, because the talk isn't for me, the talk is for them as a service to people. Then they start to give me the clues that I need to make it better. And obviously the practice, the relentless, I wanted my TED talk to be predictable. So one of my strategy was relentless practice every day, every single day. Tabby, since you've worked with so many women, is there a difference between people who put a lot of time practicing, or people who would practice but wait to the last minute? Is there like a difference, even though the experience or things like that?
Yeah, well, certainly personalities. There are some people who like to wait till the last minute. Yes. And frankly, that's just stressful for them. Mm-hmm. And they do come in more flustered, and they're not as confident. And it doesn't serve them to mm-hmm. push it off. You know, many things like that are like that in life, but particularly with the TEDx talk, I advise my students and clients to allow a full month to be practicing, so you don't burn out by the time you're up there, because you don't want to wait. If you wait till the last minute, then say the 3 days leading up to the event, you're still working. Number one, that hasn't allowed your body enough time to integrate the material so that it's like really lived in you. Mm-hmm. And number two, then you're just going to be exhausted by the time you get up there on that stage, and which can affect your stage presence and magnetism, and also your own experience. You want to enjoy the experience. So if you can be practicing for that month in advance, and, you know, I gave you all those different methods to be practicing, to vary it, you know, some more body-based and some more, you know, mind-based, then by the time you show up, you can enjoy the whole experience, not just the experience of being on the stage, but being with all your other speakers, your sister speakers, if it's the TEDx women event, and, you know, brother speakers, if it's a, you know, co-ed, much more fun that way.
Absolutely. And the enjoyment, the part of it, and, you know, the not stressing out. You know, the nerves would always gonna get you at some point, right? But at least you have the embodiment, the minimum. Like, I still remember my talk word for word until today. I still remember it. And sometimes when I'm practicing a talk, that TED talk comes up. I'm like, hang on a minute, I'm practicing this talk, but it's already within me, like parts of it, or most of it. I remember every single part of it because it's a part of my life force, if you want to call it, because I've practiced it for so long over and over and over again. And then, we before we come on air, like Tabby loves tennis. She loves the outdoors. She loves tennis. And we talked about, you know, unfortunately, Roger Federer is out because of the injury that Tabby went to the tournament. But Nadal was there. And, you know, a few other players was there. And we talked about being a champion. That is what it takes. The relentless practice, the commitment, the seriousness. From, you know, the nutrition, the chiropractor, everything else. And I felt like I was going into my own Super Bowl. Yes. I have never watched a Super Bowl before because growing up in Malaysia, football is soccer. So like when I look here, like they all have big body thing with wearing tights running all around the field. I'm like, this is like weird. But it's actually like my Super Bowl, my TED Talk. For me to have that championship, I got to prepare when the moment I found out, at least bits and pieces of it. And I wanted to ask you, as kind of like a wrapping up for this session, what is your biggest advice for women who have the desire to speak on stage or who will be speaking on stage soon? Because, you know, for you, when you hold the mic, whether it's like the lapel mic, like what I had, or that, it is a big deal. And we want to be responsible in what we say, because we can either be of service or we can hurt people. So what's your biggest advice?
Mm-hmm. So this is the biggest advice for someone who either has a dream to give a TEDx talk or is already booked to do one. Okay, let me tune into that, what my biggest advice is. My biggest advice is to show up for your message, be true to your message. If you start to lose your way with your message, come back to those body practices, the womb breathing, always come back to your body, because that's your inner guidance. Mm-hmm. And that's going to keep you on track. So you talked about the responsibility, Isdahar, of having that mic and speaking. If you're coming from your deepest truth and wisdom, which you can find in your body, then you're going to be in integrity. And that's going to serve you and guide you.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. Just having that presence, the authenticity, the connection, the truth within you, and just allow that to show up. Showing up is in many different shapes and forms. You know, it's not just showing up on the TED day, but it's showing up in other in practices or in training or showing up in writing a speech, because as we mentioned earlier, you do have to write your speech and submit it for the TED talk. There's no like, ta-da, this is my talk and speak on the day, because the organizer would need to vet the speech that it is in alignment with the TED guidelines and regulations to make sure that, you know, your speech goes through. And I think that's a really fundamental advice to any woman, because once you hold the mic, it is a responsibility for you and others, and to be of service to others, because one word can make a huge difference between, you know, life and death, or serving other people, or spreading love kindness, and joy. So Tabby, with one final question to wrap it up, our beautiful, beautiful discussion and sacred conversation today, what is one fun thing that you love to do that nobody knows?
Oh my gosh, that nobody knows. Well, oh my gosh, what does no one know? People know a lot about me because I do use social media. I guess I don't showcase my dancing very much though.
That's what I can feel, like the dancing. Yeah. And when I talk about dancers and the move, I can feel the salsa.
Yeah. Yes. Here it is. I know what it is. Mm-hmm. I love to watch dance movies and shows and just like anything in the dance genre. Uh-huh. I love it. And I don't really talk about it or showcase that, but now I have.
Nice. Is it like Dancing with the Stars or like Step
No, Up kind no. of movie? So that's a good point. Thank you for differentiating. I don't watch reality TV. So these are things I find mostly on Netflix. Like once you find one, you know, it'll share others. And these, you know, will sometimes take place in Europe. Sometimes it's ballet. Mm. Sometimes hip hop. Sometimes it's ballet dancer turn hip hop dancer.
Yes, the step up kind of like version of it.
So all of it. I love all of that. But no, it's not Dancing with the Stars.
you know, there's something about dancers. Like when I watch, I was Step Up the other day. Was it Step Up or something with combination of hip hop and ballet?
Yes.
They combine it. It's so captivating, Tab. I couldn't take my eyes off the dancer. I just couldn't. And you know, it's the embodiment, the feel of it, the muscle, every single part of it. And you know, if we take like that kind of energetically to the stage, people will never take their eyes off you, and you will get to share your message from A to B or A to C. I think that's, you know, perhaps after this, we all need to go and, you know, have some dancing movement. I thought that, Tabby, you're going to say, I have like magic mic moment. I'm like, okay, Tabby, like magic mic. And then soon Tabby and I, we're going to go all the way to Vegas for a magic mic kind of like show. But absolutely, the movement of it, that is what's, and the creativity of, no dance is ever the same. That's what I've seen. No mm-hmm. dance that is choreographed is ever the same. So that is fantastic to watch. So thank you so much, Tabby, for the conversation today. What a beautiful conversation that we have today. And it's my absolute honor and pleasure to share this message, this platform with you. Thank you for all the work that you do. And I hope that will message touch so many people's hearts so that they can see the hope and the light for them to have the courage to share the message. Thank you so much, Tabby.
Thank you, Izdahar. Thank you. Many blessings.
Thank you. And until the next episode, this is your host, Dr. Izdahar Jamil. Tell yourself, yes, I can. And so it is done. Tabby, say bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.